Well, good morning. I've already had several people ask that are kind of in the know about Dawn and I taking our son to college this week. Let me put it this way. Unless you're a doctor and you can prescribe some antidepressants, don't bring it up again. No, in reality, I did bring some things back to cheer us all up at my pastor's table out there in the mall. I've got a little dish, bowl dish with some OU mints, so I want everybody to be cheered up. Let me give you a word. You can have one, but you can't crunch it or bite it. They're best enjoyed melted real slow in your mouth. So make sure you enjoy those and take you one of those mints and... we had a good time, and we're just going to continue to pray for him and for many that are going to be launching off this week. We are continuing our series entitled Higher Still. It's a series on spiritual growth, and my assumption is that you want to grow spiritually. I know in some contexts that could be far-fetched. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're committed or doesn't even mean you're saved. It doesn't mean that you're serious, but I'm going to speak to you with the encouragement that you're taking to heart what God's saying about his command for us to grow up, to take some higher ground in our own relationship with Jesus Christ. The title of this message this morning, as Randall mentioned, is God's Word, the Food for Spiritual Growth. This is really reflective of Paul's passionate personal pursuit in his own growth towards God, where he says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Although the Apostle Paul was an educated man in theology, when he met Jesus, he began a whole new spiritual journey, and he realized he had a lifetime to grow and to go in, to grow up into Jesus Christ. We were made, and we are made, for maturity. We are made to grow up. An infant is beautiful and gorgeous and precious, but it becomes sadly grotesque if that infant stops growing because we are made for maturity. God's plan for us all is not to get a theological education, but a life transformation. He wants you to learn about him so that you can become like him, because that's where the blessings are, in following Jesus Christ and growing up in him. The word today is about spiritual growth. It's about understanding the word of God. It's about having a scope of what God's saying in his word. Someone put it this way, the Bible in 50 words. The Bible in 50 words. God made, Adam bit. Noah arced, Abraham split, Joseph ruled, Jacob fooled, Bush talked, Moses balked, Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, tablets guided, promise landed, Saul freaked, David peaked, prophets warned, Jesus born, God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died, love rose, spirit flamed, word spread, God remained. That's the Bible in 50 words. But you see, very quickly you understand something. If you don't know the Bible, those 50 words don't mean anything to you. They are meaningless cliches and phrases. You have to have a depth and a comprehensive scope of understanding the Word of God to get that brief synopsis of the Word of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart." The Word of God. I'm going to get on a little hobby horse this morning. I don't do this often. Not that you can tell, at least. Let me ask you something. What is this? It's a tablet. It's really an iPad. I know it fools you. It looks like an iPad, and it's an Asus. It's a tablet. It's a computer. What is this? Okay, what is this? What is this? Now, this is a little pet peeve of mine, okay? This doesn't make anybody, it doesn't make me more spiritual than somebody. I told Chris yesterday, he got up here and had his little iPad as he preached at this funeral, our former student minister. We had our missionary, Charlie from Africa, several years ago when he shared. He got up and had his iPad and he read the scripture and had his notes. There's nothing spiritually wrong with that. I'm not hammering them. You may do your devotional in your. I have a copy of the Word of God in my phone for emergencies. You know, I call that my fake Bible. But anyway, this is not the Bible. The reason I'm going to always preach from this is because our sense of this can only be one thing. This is the only thing this can be is the Word of God. This is the only thing this can be. This contains the Word of God. This is a tool. It mediates. It's a process of reading the Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. But my fear is that as a generation is raised out of a relationship with the Word of God that's instrumentally communicated from a tool, this is not the Word of God. It's a tool. It's a good tool. Use it. I mean, there are devotional tools. There are daily scriptures. There are commentaries. I mean, you can't carry the library around with you. This is a great thing. But this is my fear. You can skip from the Word of God in here to pornography. You can jump from that to your calendar book. You can jump from that to all kinds of other stuff in there. And it can give the impression, this is what I fear, it can give the impression that the Word of God is just some other section of this thing and it's on the same level with everything else and there's not a distinctive relationship with it. That's my fear. I'm not saying that that's your journey. You may read this and God can speak His truth. His truth, don't misunderstand me. But what is this? That's the only thing this is ever going to be. And I can't go to the Reader's Digest. I can't read the D Magazine. The only thing I can do with this is meet God. So if somebody comes up here and preaches from this, don't come up to me and go, Pastor, they blew it. Don't start hissing. Don't look down your nose at them. I fear sometimes that there is such a pursuit of cool that we miss something. My first goal is not to be cool. Kids, I know how to use this thing. I mean, you know, I can turn it on. There it is right there. It's raining on the screen right now. Just, you know. But understand something. The goal is not cool. It's Christ-likeness. Turn with me, please. I'm off my hobby horse now. First Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's word. Scripture says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, which that term means it's corruptible or decayable. You have not been born again of seed or truth, which is decayable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and the abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, even His word. You may be seated. Let me point out several things out of this text. First of all, as Peter is giving encouragement to Christians, to followers of Christ who are again suffering persecution, and he's talking about how they are called and saved by the grace of God and how they are therefore to live out of that relationship with God. and he's reminding them of the source of their salvation. It's God himself through his word. And he says several things in the context of this text of scripture. He says, the source of your life comes from another life, and that's from God. The source of your life begins somewhere else. God himself birthed himself in you through faith. And the seed of life from God is everlasting because life in God is everlasting. The seed, the truth, is not just the written word, it's the living word. And he says the word is imperishable. And he uses the same term in the first part of this chapter where he's talking about the Christian inheritance. He said you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ that nothing can take away. It's imperishable. And just like your inheritance, all that we have in Christ in future glory, moth will not get to it, rust will not get to it, the IRS will not get to it. I mean, the government will not get to it. We have an inheritance which is imperishable because we have a living truth and a living God which is imperishable. How can the word be living? It's living because of the living word behind the written word, and it's imperishable. And he says his word is abiding, which means it has staying power. The word living means to be quickened. It means to give life. It's to quicken, to bring life. Very quickly, three things out of this text we want to talk about in lifting the level of our own interaction and walk with God through God's use of his word to help us grow up into Jesus Christ. First of all, see the value of the word of God. See the value of the word of God. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, of course, is that text where it says the God the Spirit led God the Son into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. You remember that text? God the Spirit, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And for 40 days, he fasted. He did not eat. And at the end of that 40 days, Satan himself, the chief of demons, attacks and in spiritual warfare tries to undermine the authority and the will of God through the life of the Son. And he comes with three separate attacks or temptations to Jesus Christ. And the only defense was that Jesus used was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is available to every Christian as a part of our spiritual armor. The only thing Jesus said in defense against Satan's attack on him was always a repeated phrase which began, it is written. It is written. The Son of God is using the Word of God to defend himself against Satan. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. We are commanded to use the Word of God, to be familiar with it, to understand it, to apply it in our lives. The pastor David Jeremiah has said, survey shows that about 92% of the Americans own at least one Bible, and the average household has three. The average committed Christian owns 9 copies of the Word of God, and at least 20 million Bibles are sold annually in the United States, with millions more being distributed free. Yet the Gallup poll shows that occasional Bible reading, only occasional Bible reading, has dropped significantly. The people that are reading the Bible at all, the percentage of Americans that are reading the Bible at all, has dropped significantly in the last several years. It's not owning the Word of God that matters. It's knowing and living and applying the Word of God, having a respect for it. The value of God's Word must be more than an occasional encounter or an occasional acquaintance. Several years ago, a pastor in Seattle by the name of Dale Turner challenged his congregation that if any one of them would memorize Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he would provide them a free dinner at the top of the Seattle Space Dome. Is that what it's called? Space Needle? He would provide a trip and a free meal to that place. Well, he had a young man in his church that took him up on it, a young man named Bill. On a trip with his parents, Bill, on a car trip in 2.5 hours, memorized the Sermon on the Mount. He came back, sat down with his pastor, and quoted the Sermon on the Mount. And afterwards, Bill said, "I can do anything I put my mind to." Years and years later, a reporter asked Bill what he believed about God. And he said, "Oh, I guess I'm either an agnostic or an atheist, one of those." You know who Bill was? Bill Gates. He memorized the Sermon on the Mount, but he never internalized anything Jesus said. It's not just the words. It's a faith relationship with the author of the book. It's beyond that. We must believe what we learn before it'll make a difference. I read the story of a missionary in Africa that was standing on a street one day and had a little copy of the Bible. And this native man came up to him and said, "Sir, could I have that little book, whatever that is?" The missionary thought that's kind of strange. He knew the guy didn't know what the book was. He said, "What do you want it for?" He said, "The pages of that book are just the right size to roll cigarettes with." The missionary thought, you're asking me for this book so you can tear out the pages and roll cigarettes with it?" He said, "Yeah." The missionary was really struck with the guy's honesty. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you this book on one condition. You promise me before you tear out any page, you read every single word on that page." Guy said, "I'll do it." He took the book, disappeared. 15 years later, that missionary was attending a revival meeting preached by an African evangelist. The man came up to the missionary and said, "Do you remember me?" He says, "No, I don't think so." He said, "I'm the guy that got your book." He said, "It took me," and this was a New Testament, he said, "It took me from Matthew to John chapter 3 before I stopped smoking the scripture and started preaching the scripture." He took it to heart, and it changed his life. The value of the Word of God. What sometimes you may not understand from an Islamic perspective, and I know this is not about worshiping a book, but from an Islamic perspective, the handling of the Quran, they handle it sacredly. So you say, "What do you mean?" I'm saying to you that if a Muslim person were to come into our church and go to our Sunday school class, how we handle this book would confuse them. You say, "What are you talking about?" If they were to come in and see you take a copy of the Word of God and lay it on the floor, they wouldn't understand that. Put it down there and then put your coffee on top of it. They wouldn't understand that. Because they're thinking, "What?" I know you can take the extreme, and just because they may treat it outwardly one way doesn't mean they've attempted to internalize any of what they're saying, and that's error anyway. I'm just saying to you that how we handle and treat... You see, I still have a problem... You know, I was giving you a hard time about the iPad or the tablet. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world is hit delete in here. Have you figured that out? You know, you don't want that copy? Erase that. Give me another copy. Pull up 50 copies. I still have a hard time knowing what to do with an old copy of the Bible, which is not functional any longer. you know, even in the Islam, they have a particular procedure of how they're supposed to dispose of old copies of the Quran. I've got old copies of the Bible in my office because I feel bad about putting them in the trash. I'm just telling you, I know it's not, it's ink, and but do you care about the Word of God? Not just the book. Is there reference for the words? Don't misunderstand. It's not just the, are you reference, is there value? Very quickly, not only value, but search the Scripture for validation of your faith. John 5:39-47 says, "You search the Scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me." Jesus in this text is talking to religious leaders, and their search of the Scripture is for validation of their denial of Jesus Christ. He's saying they testify of me, but you don't get it. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, for I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. If you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And then in Acts 17, a totally different picture, verses 10 through 12. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. How do we search the Scripture? Let me give you several very quick things. First of all, this is going to be tough. Read it. I warned you. Revelations 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. I'm not going to ask you to respond publicly. I want to ask you to respond privately. Have you ever read through the Bible one time? Just once. Just read it. You know what people say? I don't understand it. Well, you think you're going to understand it better by not reading it? You know, learning is empirical. You know what that means? It means you start with the simple and build up. They don't start with grade one, send you to calculus. They go in there and we're going to learn to count. You may need to start with your toes and hands, so take your shoes off. We'll start where you are. One, two, three, you know, then we're going to subtract. You build up. Just reading. I'll never forget my first church. After church one Sunday, we were going to play Bible trivia with some of the senior adults. Oh, brother, the pastor is playing Bible trivia. I'll never forget one of the senior adult ladies. She was on the other team. She had no theology degree. She had no college degree. All she had ever done is read the Bible. Son, she wiped the floor with me. I mean, she's answering. I'm going, yeah, I got that. I can't remember. It's Melchizedek. Or, you know, it's just she had understanding because she had read the Scripture as a practice of life. If you were to supplant, let me be easy on you. Supplant 1/10. I'm going to be easy on you. 1/10 of the time you spend watching television. Make it 1/5. and spend it reading the Bible, you'll be amazed of what God will say to you. You know what I've always said? You get this. When you pray, you're talking to God. When you read His Word, He's talking to you. You say God's never spoken to you? That means you haven't read the Bible. Every time you read, He's speaking if you're listening. Read. Secondly, study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Study it. Learn it. Now, this is not a hobby horse. This is just the truth. I can't tell you how many times, and I want to help people, and I'll give them directions, and I'm responding more to emails about what about this and what about that, and how to, you know, I send them resources and all that kind of stuff. But this is a conviction I have. This is a conviction I really have. It's really hard for you to learn, except in a sermonic way, from my study. If you have an issue, I'll give you some direction, scope. I'll suggest a book. But it's your study you learn from. I can't, you know, if you, parents, I know you've never done this. Kids come home, they got homework, you do it and send it back. I know you've never done that. You know, they don't learn from your taking the test. They got to take the test. They got to do the study. Doesn't mean you don't sit alongside them, help explain some things, work with them. But listen, you've got to study yourself. I don't know what your issue is. I got my own list I'm working on. Listen, God's pursuing some stuff in your mind, in your journey, in your heart, in your life. Dig! The scripture covers all aspects of life. Oh, you say, well, it doesn't talk about the kinds of sins that we have today because of technology. It talks about the source of sin. It doesn't matter the specific manifestation. The source is the issue. Study. Secondly, memorize. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against God. You will discover the more you read, the more scripture is just there. You can't fire a bullet if you hadn't loaded the gun. It's so amazing, man, when you just begin to read and it's there that during the day or when a crisis hits, that scripture will be pulled right out. Meditate. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. Let me ask you today, do you want to know God? Then you're going to know His Word. You want to know how to be a better husband, a parent, employee, employer, a person, a brother, sister, mom, or dad, a citizen, a Christian? You want to know how to be the best version of you? It's right here. Lastly, and then I close, surrender to the Scripture's supreme verity. Oh, I know that's a sermonic thing. I had to get all the V's in there. That means supreme authority, verity. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. A man by the name of Melvin Hitchens, a resident of New Orleans several years ago, went out on the front porch of his little house and he was reading the Bible. 65 years of age. Finished reading, picked up his Bible, went into the house, got a 45 caliber pistol, went out and shot his neighbors. His next door neighbor, Donna, was sweeping the sidewalk. He killed her dead. The husband was mowing the yard, and he shot him and wounded him. Didn't get it. Just read the Bible. What happened? A young man I knew when I was in college was engaged to a young lady that I knew. They had gotten married, and then they were having marital trouble. He went into his kitchen, got out his copy of the Bible, read a while, pulled out a gun, stuck it in his mouth, blew his brains out. It's believing that matters. You say, well, I haven't shot my neighbors. Well, good. That's good. Pat yourself on the back. But have you loved them as yourself? It's not just what we don't do. It's what we do that matters. Let me ask you today. Do you want to know God? The purpose of the Scripture is to reveal the person of God to you. If you are not in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about. You can't sit in Sunday school and live off of somebody else's experience. You may say, man, you're doing the little round table thing, you know. Okay, number next in line, you read the next verse, and the next in line reading, and tell us what you think, and you know. And somebody opens it up and goes, and they reflect on it. They go, man, I didn't see that at all. Maybe it's because they're listening to a person you haven't heard from. He's the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not about knowledge. It's about walk. It's about relationship. It's about resource. It's about God being fully alive in your life. The text that we just read, I have not gone back to it, and my time is gone. In First Peter, desire the sincere, which means undiluted, pure milk of the Word of God. That's for baby Christians. There's a place, I mean, when a baby is born, you don't take a steak and cut it up and stuck it in their mouth. They're not ready. They're to the stage they need milk, but they need pure milk. We don't even know what pure milk is anymore. We think 2%'s got too much fat in it. You know, it's 2%, it's 1%, it's a half a percent. And what's the, there's something after that. Fat-free, skim. Has anybody here ever had any straight from the cow? Raise your hand. Oh, brother, stuff floating around in it. Man, I mean, it's so rich. Butter on top, that cream, woo! We don't know what pure is. When it says desire the pure milk, listen, it means hunger for it. What does a baby do when it comes out and it's time for feeding? That child doesn't care who's asleep, what else is happening in the world. The world has to stop. I'm hungry for some milk. He says, we ought to be craving, thirsting for it, desiring it as if our life depended on it. I need a word from God. And then he also says later on, to some Christians, you're way past the milk stage. You ought to be on meat. There's some meat in the Word of God. If you've known the Lord over a period of time and you're still drinking milk, you need to move on to some meat. Maybe listen, this is what you'll discover. Whether you are ready or not, you'll have experiences that only meat truth can help you live through. But you haven't gotten to the place to take it in yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for every person here, the goal of the Christian life is to self feed. To be able to go to your word, open it up, and let you speak. They've gone through the basics, the ABCs of the milk doctrines of Scripture. The simple things. There are simple things. And we can't add to that the calculus of Scripture or the complicated or the deep things of God until we've spent time with a hunger for the purity of your word. Holy Spirit, help us to know it's not about a book. That's the written word that connects us with the living word, Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. It's you we need. It's a relationship. It's a walk. It's a dependency. It's a faith enlarging, a life transforming, mind exploding experience of knowing God. It's the word of God that helps us to discern truth from error. It's the word of God that gives us spiritual strength to endure hardship. It's the word of God that gives us clarity about how to interpret many of the voices we hear in our world. It's the grid through which we can listen to the news or hear other philosophies and we can go, that's not true according to the word of God. I pray, God, that you would deepen us as we pursue you through time in your word as a habit of life. I pray that some would make a commitment today to read through it all. We got more tools than we can use. Computer, phone, chapter of the day. You can pick 15 read through the Bible methodologies on my tablet. It's just doing it. But God, to do it with a desire to know you, God. Not just to fill our heads with a bunch of Bible facts, but to know you. To share our heart, our hopes, our struggles, our fears, our frustrations, confess our sins, and to seek your grace to enable us to be more like Christ. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that they'll know that He's their answer. That they'll confess their sins, and He'll come in. And take them as his own. And Lord, for every Christian here, that we would make a commitment. Our church is not going to be what it needs to be if we are not individually attempting to be what we should be. As individual Christians, pursuing a vital, intimate, daily, moment-by-moment relationship, fellowship with Jesus Christ, guided in and through and by the Word God. Lord, maybe your Holy Spirit has unearthed some struggles, some fears, some anger, some issues that need to be dealt with. Lord, this altar is yours. Be glorified with our response to you and help us to honor you daily by seeking your face. In Jesus' name I pray.